right, you're listening to the Martinez Perspective, exclusively broadcast on alt-right.com. I'm Brandon Martinez. I have a guest with me today. His name's Jesse B., someone that I encountered on Facebook, I believe, a number of years ago. Thanks for coming on, Jesse.
Thank you for having me.
So how did we first come into contact? I don't quite remember the story.
The story is I was feeling very right-wing but not Russian-loving, and I saw a post of yours criticizing Russia over Chechnya on the site Countercurrents, and I followed you from there.
Okay, so that was quite a few years ago. That must have been in 2014 or so.
Yeah, or 15.
But how would you describe yourself now? Because you've told me that you were raised Jewish, but don't carry the traditional opinions of Jews on either side of the spectrum. So how would you define your worldview?
Well, I was raised in the worst form of Judaism, which is Zionist. I was raised in a modern Orthodox school. So you have some Orthodox Jews like the Satmars who are anti-Zionist or not pro-Israel, and you have liberal Jews who tend to sometimes pay lip service to the Palestinians. So I was raised in like hard right, anti-Arab, homicidal Zionism, as opposed to like regular liberal Jews. You don't really say they want to kill the Arabs and take their land. So really bigoted, extremist stuff.
But at some point you obviously believe that. So what led you off of that path?
Well, you see, what they did was when they raised you in the school, they always talked about the Arab violence, the Arab atrocities. And they made you believe that the Arabs were the aggressors and we were just defending ourselves and our right to exist. But as I read more and learned more, I learned we were always the aggressor and we're still aggressors in 2020. So obviously it's just propaganda. You know, if these people, these Zionists really believed that the Arabs started the violence and that they didn't do nothing, they really believed that. A lot of them do. Some don't, but a lot of them really do.
So they obviously have a very intense propaganda campaign and education system to convince the Jews that they're victims of the evil Gentiles, whether it's the whites, the Germans, or the Arabs. And obviously this has kind of been inculcated into the mind of every Jew in the world, who then uses that as a sort of an excuse, a pretext to carry out their militant agenda of anti-Gentilism around the world. But you're telling me that these liberal Jews who don't really talk about it, don't really, you know, come out and cheerlead for it, but they secretly do agree with it on some level, don't they?
I mean, I think it depends. Like, okay, for example, you know, some Jews believe in a two-state solution, and I mean, that's fine, but many Arabs would argue even a two-state solution is oppressive. Why should we split even half of our land with you? So if you mean like some are more soft-core anti-Zionists and hardcore anti-Zionists, sure, but I don't think it's a matter of left or right, because you have plenty of right-wing Jews called the Naturae Carta and the Satmars. You know, most Jews are Satmar, which means they refuse to serve in the Israeli military and they refuse to hate Arabs. So I think it's like it's a military position. It's not a theological position. But yeah, I would argue that many left-wing Jews are pretty hardcore Zionists, even though they don't always say it right away. Definitely.
But it seems to me that they're left-wing Jews when it comes to Western countries, specifically white countries, where they advocate for the most hardcore open borders and multiculturalism policies. But then in Israel, they hold the opposite position where they want to expel anyone who's not a Jew. They want to maintain an ethnic majority in their country, which Netanyahu openly states that his goal as a politician is to maintain the Jewishness of the state of Israel. And if most Jews around the world support this policy in Israel and the deportation of Africans coming into the country. There have been tons of reporting showing Israeli mobs doing Kristallnacht type attacks against Africans. But then in the West, they proffer the polar opposite position that we should be welcoming to the weak, the suffering, the migrants, the refugees. You have the Jewish organization called Hayas, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which is radically promoting migration. And so how the hell do these people justify this outrageous double standard?
Well, they believe that violence is acceptable in certain cases. So you have many of these Jews, they supported bombing Serbia in 1999, and many of them supported the war in Vietnam, even left leading liberal Jews, not the radical communists, but like they believe that like freedom or individual rights or human rights are worth murdering people over. Like they're fanatics for freedom. So it's not just that they support killing Arabs, they also support killing Vietnamese or, North Koreans. You hear people like Ben Shapiro. People like Ben Shapiro don't only want to just go after the Arabs. They also want to go after like Kim Jong-un, and they hate Putin. So
But
they're all around belligerent.
specifically on the point of them backing racialist isolationist policies for Israel and an ethnocratic system, but then in the West they support anti-white rhetoric and immigration policies because they think that it benefits them to dilute the majority of white people. And they have some kind of revenge fantasy against the white race. So isn't this a brazen double standard?
Well, they believe the Arabs are aggressors. They don't see themselves as aggressing on the Arabs. They're so twisted that they think that Arabs are the aggressors because they have a lot of twisted notions. So, like, I'll give you an example. They think that the British came to Palestine to civilize the natives, and when the natives fought back, they're being brutal, violent. So they basically believe that you can't. They believe killing is not. They believe the Arabs don't have a right to kill the Jews living in Palestine. So they see themselves as victims of Arab violence because they've twisted it to say the Arabs have no right to claim what's theirs. The Arabs have to just accept the Jews taking over. And if the Arabs fight back, the Arabs are the murderers. The Arabs are the thieves. So they twisted it in that way. So they wouldn't describe themselves as aggressing on Arab land.
Right, but how does this work out where they hate white Jews, hate white people for wanting to have white countries for white people, but then they support Israel as a Jewish ethno state?
Well, they argue that Israel is needs to defend itself, and that's why they're ethnocentric, because they're victims of violence. They don't see it as racism, they see it as national security. It's twisted, but they really think like we have to secure our ethnic because the Arabs keep attacking us.
Why are they so hell bent on scuttling any kind of ethnocentrism on the part of whites?
I guess because they don't see the what they don't see like Europe being violently attacked, while they see Israel as being a victim of rockets and whatever. But they don't realize that the reason Israel is a victim of rockets is because Israel's an occupier. So they don't see like the immigrants coming into Europe. They don't see them as like as invaders. They see them as just immigrants, you know?
Well, I think they recognize they secretly know that these are invaders and they're reverse colonizing white countries, but that's the plan. And that's always been the plan from the days of Kalergi.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, they think violence is acceptable only in certain times. like they don't believe violence is okay in the name of white nationalism. But like I said, like, I'll give an example. A lot of these Jews, they always pay lip service to people like Washington and Jefferson, right? You know?
Okay.
So the point is, why do they like Washington and Jefferson? Who were killers. That's what they were. Washington and Jefferson were killers. They were revolutionary. They think violence in the name of freedom is good. But they don't think like violence in the name of like ethno-nationalism for whites is good. So they hate Hitler, but they love, let's say, I don't know, the who's a good example? Oh, yeah, Lyndon Johnson. Because they think killing's okay if it's for the right reason. They don't think nationalism is good for non-Jews. They don't like killing if it's non-Jews doing it.
Right, they support genocidal killing when they're doing it so that they can be strong and powerful and have their own ethnocratic state with nuclear weapons. But then if whites decide to pursue their own destiny, this is not beneficial or advantageous to the Jewish race. So they have to work to undermine that. And this is why everybody hates Jews, right? Because of their obnoxious double standards.
Absolutely. But I would also say that they believe that Israel is somehow liberal at the same time. So they think that because Israel has gay rights, they're not really conservative. So you always hear Zionists talking about how Israel has a lot of gay rights and they have women's rights.
Right. They try to use that to get liberals in the West to support Israel over the Muslims. By saying, well, you're allowed to do anal sex and have homo pride parades in Israel, so we have to support them. Like, it's the most absurd argument, and only homosexuals themselves would find that argument appealing. But
that's the point.
But you know, my major fight these days is with these left wing Jews, like George Soros, who are trying to impose a genocide on whites. This guy will not stop until there's zero white people in the world. I mean, this is his life's work, is to uproot white people and impose some kind of dystopian nightmare multicultural utopia where an kleptocratic group of Jews control everything.
Well, that's the sort of people like George Soros don't see immigration as genocide. They see genocide as killing. And I'm trying to say is technically they see the Jews as victims of Arab violence, which is sort of true insofar as when Jews first immigrated to Palestine, they were killed by Arabs. But these Jews don't seem to realize that Arabs can kill whoever the fuck they want in their own country. They sort of see it like, you know, Ayn Rand?
Yeah.
Ayn Rand argued that the Native Americans had no right to the land because they were quote-unquote savages, they didn't have private property, or because they were Bedouin, they were nomads. So that's the Jewish argument for Palestine, right? The Arabs didn't own anything, they were just tribes, they were savage, they didn't have a unified state, so the Jews can just move in there and take it. And when the Arabs fight back, they're called terrorists. So they don't see themselves as murderers. I'm telling you that they really see themselves as the victims of Arab violence. They think Jews just went to Palestine and built trees and built schools, and the Arabs are just killing them just for being there. You know, that's how they see it.
And their main fight of groups like the ADL is to stop white people from doing not even close to what the Jews themselves do. I mean, the Jews are willing to kill thousands of people to maintain the purity of their state and their race. But then if whites simply get together in a protest in favor of white rights, they condemn it as Nazi anti-Semite. So this is...
What I'm trying to say is... They don't see it as purity. The Jews don't see it as nationalism. They see it as survival. They see it as the Arabs are trying to kill them.
That's what nationalism is.
The Jews have to take a hard line in the air.
But that's what nationalism is survival. Huh? Nationalism is survival. It's protection of one's race and culture. They want it for themselves, but they don't want it for whites because they hate whites. They have a so some kind of pathological aversion to white people and white culture based on historical conflicts between Jews and whites in Europe, the pogroms and the culminating in Hitler expelling them. And they need to snuff out any semblance of white racial solidarity so that they can achieve their globalist Jewish power over all the races.
Well, yeah, but
Mix them all up.
that's true with the globalism, but with regards to Israel, they really believe it's a matter of physical survival. They've made themselves believe that the Arabs keep sending rockets at them, right? So when people send rockets at you got to fight back. That's what they believe. They believe they're the victims
Well,
of rockets and tanks.
they always have to convince themselves that they're victims to justify their behavior, right?
Exactly.
But my problem is not really with Israel existing. Like, that's kind of old hat anti-Zionist stuff. Like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I believed that. But the fact is that it exists, and my position now is that all Jews in the West should go to Israel, that they have no ethnic loyalty to white countries, and in fact have proven that they have a hostility towards white countries. And if so, why not go to Israel? They have their ethno state in the Middle East. I don't really care what happens to in that situation. I just want all Jews to go and live in their own state and not mess around with white countries. But they won't do this because they can't survive on their own, living amongst their own people. They need to kind of operate as like a succubus on white countries. That's how they make their shekels.
Well, two things. One, they would say they're not an ethno state because they'd argue that they have a huge Arab minority, and they would argue that Jews are, they argue that they're like 700,000 Arabs living in Israel.
Yeah,
They're
but
like, if we're an ethno state, why do we have a giant Arab minority?
that doesn't prove it's not an ethnic. That just proves that there's a minority group that they're constantly trying to figure out ways to get rid of. Netanyahu is on record saying the biggest threat to Israel is not even Hamas or these Palestinian militant groups, but it's these Arabs living in Israel who present a demographic threat to the Jews. And he's schemed around. I mean, there are even fucking Israeli departments who are investigating like Arab birth rates and how to scuttle Arab population growth. So it is an ethno state, but they haven't figured out a way to remove, the 700,000 Arabs that were absorbed into the state when Israel conquered all that territory in the 67, 72 wars.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm talking about not Arabs in the West Bank. I'm talking about Arabs within Israel, not the West Bank Arabs.
Yeah, I'm talking about them also, that Netanyahu views them as the biggest threat to the Jewish nation and its purity as an ethno state. So it's not like they have those Arabs. Like, those Arabs in Israel are basically just like the slave class who do all the low labor jobs that the Jews don't want to do, right?
Exactly.
Construction, burger flipping, cleaning, all of those low manual labor jobs are done by Arabs, and so Jews are kind of keeping them around as sort of a slave class, and they also do import low skill migrant workers from Asia to do those jobs also.
Two things. Why do you think Israel didn't have a right to exist? And also, do you understand that the Jews don't see it as ethnic? They see it as the Arabs are victims of like Islam and dictatorship, and they see it as like we want to free them from themselves. So you hear all these Jews like Netanyahu, like they live under Ayatollahs in Iran, they live under a dictator in Syria. We want to bring them freedom and human rights and free markets. They see it as like a as liberation. They don't see it as occupation. So it's very narcissistic. But why didn't you think Israel had a right to exist?
Why didn't I before?
Yeah,
Many years ago?
before.
Probably just just on these kind of left-wing ideas that you can't steal land from other groups and so forth. That seems to be the main argument behind the movement to dismantle Israel as a state. However, that argument wouldn't really, I mean, that argument could be used to delegitimize pretty much any state, whether it's the US quarreling with Indians and Mexico, with Russia expanding its borders thousands of miles continuously for years. The various empires, and holdouts of those empires like Britain and Spain and a few other European countries still have some overseas territories. So that argument is, I wouldn't use that argument today. The idea of having a right to exist is kind of like just a irrelevant talking point. It's like there's really no right or moral basis for having a nation. It's just it exists through force and through power, and whether you're able to sustain it. That's the only reason that states exist, right? Or else bigger, stronger nations would gobble up. Today we have international law that supposedly, safeguards sovereignty for nations, and it kind of does, but before that, bigger nations would swallow up smaller ones all the time, right? So it's all about
Yes.
force. At the end of the day, might essentially makes right. Not in a moral sense, but just in a, in a physical world sense. But my position is not like these. This is where I became disillusioned with the whole anti-Zionist thing, because it's really, one, it's rooted in just this pathological obsession with anything to do with Arabs and Arab victimhood. It's almost like the Black Lives Matter movement, but just for Arabs. And it's like, you have all these white people in the West, people like Rachel Corrie, who, have no interest in defending their own people, their own race, and their own countries, yet are sacrificing themselves and expensing all of their energy trying to defend foreign people in a foreign land, in Palestine. Like, what's going on here? Why do white people think it's their duty to go and become human meat shields for Arabs? And
Well, yeah, here's.
go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Go on.
And that's just where I really became disillusioned and critical of that whole side of it. And you still see some elements of that even seeping into the alt-right. With some of these Nazbol type people who really put the interests of these foreign peoples above their own, and a lot of these people are literally human shields, like Ken O'Keefe. This guy went over to Iraq to be a human meat shield for Saddam Hussein, and then he went to Iran, he went to Palestine. Like, he's just globetrotting around the world like a social justice warrior, trying to save people and sacrifice his own body to save them, and these are not even his own people. It's incredible. He would never do that for white people in America. Of course not, because he's a leftist who hates white people. He hates the West. He hates anything Western, and ultimately has been absorbed into a foreign tribe. He married into a Palestinian, he married a Palestinian woman and bore and had children with her. I mean, he literally, like, extirpated himself from white Western culture and supplanted himself in an Arabic nation and meshed himself with an Arabic tribe. And that's he's a race traitor.
Well, here, speaking of race, that you keep mentioning how Israel's like a racist state. I think the Jews, they see it as like they're saving the Arabs, like they're bringing the Arabs technology and gay rights and the free market. It's sort of like how Teddy Roosevelt wanted to invade Cuba and how LBJ invaded Vietnam. The argument is that these people are backwards or they're oppressed or they're savages, the noble savage. And the idea is that the white man has to do the white man's burden. Israel sees itself as doing the white man's burden. They see the Arabs as living under dictators and Islamic systems, and they want to bring the Arabs like liberalism and human rights and by bombing them. It's very twisted, but that's sort of what the British did in India, right? The British want to free the Indians and bring them, you know, Western forms of governance. And it's the Jews see themselves as being pro-Arab. They argue that the Arabs are oppressed by people like Khomeini and Nasser and Arafat, and they want to bring the Arabs, you know, human rights. So they don't see it as a racist endeavor. They see it as a endeavor of liberation, just like the whites in America thought they were bringing, you know, freedom to the Indians and saving the Indian tribes.
So if it's not a racialist endeavor, then why don't they accept massive immigration into Israel and intermarry with these Arabs?
Well, they argue Arabs are a violent threat. They argue that the Arabs are shooting rockets at us and they're sending suicide bombers into our
bus. Ultimately, they just want to rule these people. They don't want to interbreed with them. They're not actually egalitarians. They just want to rule these people. And I don't really give a shit so long as the Jews are doing it over there and not involving white countries to do this bullshit for them, which is the case today.
But I think it points to a generalized view of the white man's burden or the Jewish man's burden, where we have to go into these countries and free them from the oppressive system. So we got to bomb the Serbs to save the Albanians. We got to invade India to save them from their caste system. That's what the British did. The British sacrificed so many men in India to save the Indians from their Hindu barbarism. That's what they want. They really believe in quote unquote altruism, violent altruism. We're going to kill them to save them. You know,
that's a
stupid. They call it. They make it desert. Yeah, go on.
It's just a stupid, wasteful belief system. We don't have to go civilize or help or uplift anyone. They could do it themselves. I'm pretty much an isolationist in that respect. I don't want to go save the Africans or save the Arabs or save anyone except for white countries in the West.
Yeah, that's a Jewish term. It's tikkun olam, making the world better. Tikkun olam. So they want to save the poor Kurds from Saddam, and they want to save this poor group from this poor group. So it's about they it's racist insofar as the Jews are purely interested in monetary gain and having land. They want Arab land, but they cover in words like Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. We have gay rights in Israel. We don't stone women in Israel. So there's this like liberal facade. Well, we have a parliament in Israel, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they can go and fuck each other in the ass in Israel all they want. You know, I don't care. As long as they stop promoting this bullshit in the West. They're pushing the homo agenda. They're pushing pornography. They're pushing feminism. They're pushing SJW, anti-white rhetoric. Pushing massive immigration because this benefits the Jewish race as a kleptocratic minority, very tight-knit, ethnocentric, nepotistic, promoting their own people. You saw that with Harvey Weinstein got into hot water. What is the first thing he did? He called some Israeli intelligence company to go spy on the people that were accusing him and undermine them. Like, these Jews really work together for their own interests. And they just deny that right to white people because they view white people as a threat to them, right? They view white people as Hitler.
It's tribal.
Yeah.
It's so tribal. It's so anti-Gentile. And it's also monetary. I mean, when they invaded Iraq, companies like Halliburton and all these bits, so it's businesses. These wars also get people rich. So the Jews get to take Jordanian water and they get to take West Bank olives. It's a whole industry. It's a whole occupation industry. They make money for the weapons and they make money for the people who have to build. Think about it. Think of all the Israeli uniforms these companies have to make for their soldiers. They make business off of it. It's a whole industry. So, but they always cover it in universalist rhetoric. So it's like you always hear people like Ben Shapiro, like they came gays in Iran. Okay, they hang gays in Iran. So what? Does that mean we have to kill Iranians? You know that famous quote, they make a desert and call it peace? Is that how it goes?
I don't know. What's that?
You know, it's a famous Roman quote where it's like these people who like, let's say Iran hangs gays and they're very backwards, right? Why does that justify murdering Iranians? That's what the sort of imperialist viewpoint is, that we have to save these people. We have to these guys want to save the Iranians from Khomeini, but if you're killing them, how are you saving them? You know what I'm saying? How can you kill someone to save them? These Jews think they're making the Arabs' lives better by giving them all this access to modern society. Well, but they're killing the Arabs while they're doing it. So it's like, yeah, go on.
They don't really, Ben Shapiro doesn't, I don't think he really gives a shit, you know, what happens in Iran internally. He prefers a more liberal regime, sort of along the lines of the Shah, because the Shah was amenable to Israel and the West, and was willing to do business, and had no real hostility against Israel. He doesn't really give a shit about those social issues. He just wants to implement regimes that suck the dick of Israel, right? And my position is, I don't, you know, this Iranian regime, so it gets all this praise from some people in the alt-right just because of its stance against Israel. But its stance against Israel is, one, it's kind of superficial because they just use it as a rallying cry to kind of distract their own people. And secondly, and they don't really do much about Israel, right? Has Iran ever attacked Israel? No. Secondly, they oppose Israel on anti-racist, egalitarian principles based out of Islam, which is why they never say the word Jew, and they only attack Zionists. I remember when I used to write for Press TV, they would remove any reference to Jew in art in my articles and switch it with Zionist, because they're not against Judaism, they're not against Jews, they're only against Zionism, because they want to implement some kind of universalist, egalitarian Islamic world order, and they just kind of don't like Zionism because they think the Middle East is an Islamic terrain and they want to usurp that. But that doesn't help white nationalists. So they just want to kick all these Jews back to Europe and North America, and that would just cause more problems for us. So their interests really aren't even concordant with our own as white nationalists.
Yeah. I found the quote. It says, "To ravage, to slaughter, to usurp under false titles, they call it empire. And where they make a desert, they call it peace." That's by the Roman senator Tacitus. Tacitus, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I'm a little uncultured in ancient language. You heard of Tacitus? T-A-C-I-T-U-S? He was a famous Roman senator. So he's arguing that the Roman Empire talked about, you know, we're going to liberate these people, we're going to make Rome great again. And they said all these high-minded slogans, but it involved killing and torturing and robbing. So that's sort of the Israel thing. Israel kills and robs and slaughters and expels and tortures, but they say, oh, we're doing it because we're civilized, we're very Western, we're very liberal, we're very technologically advanced. You know, all the cell phones are made in Israel. Tel Aviv is the biggest gay pride parade in the world, so we're going to kill all the Arabs, we're going to kill all the Iranians. That's sort of the whole white man's burden.
Well, yeah, their burden is to impose homosexual anal sex over the whole world, right? The Jews, these Jewish elites would love for the entire planet to just be a bunch of degenerate, like, heroin-injecting homosexuals, because then they can just peddle out the drugs to everyone, and they're profiting from that, peddle out the pornography to everyone, they're profiting from that, and they're all a bunch of idiots running around, you know, degenerate losers, whereas the Jews are of course building up their ethnic power over us. So yeah, we know what their agenda is, and it obviously doesn't end well for us.
Yeah.
But what's, I wanted to ask you,
but
this,
I just trying to say, if you ask a Jew about your Palestinian, yeah.
Go ahead, finish your point.
Go on. My point was that I'm saying that the Jews, they don't see themselves as occupiers. They see themselves as liberators. They see themselves as helping the Arabs. They're saving them from themselves. They're bringing them technology, and they're bringing them elections. They don't see themselves as murderers. They see themselves as freedom fighters. They really do. They see themselves as great guys and humanitarians. Yes, any Israeli will say the same shit.
Of course, because they're chosen people, right? Everything they do is
justified. The Jewish man's burden.
Everything they do is justified according to their religion, no matter what they do. So long as it benefits the Jewish race. I wanted to ask you about these anti-war phonies. You know, a few years ago, I turned against these people because it became very obvious to me that they were frauds, that they're not anti-war, that they basically just became co-opted by any regime that found itself confrontational with the West, with the U.S., on the other side of the Arab-Israeli dispute. So these people are just blatant shills and propagandists for anything that seems to be oppositional to the West. You notice the same thing. What do you think?
Yeah. I think they're afraid of the white people. I think Jews really have, they're a little afraid of Hitler. They have a little fear of people like Queen Isabella in Spain. They do. I think they're a little traumatized. They don't realize that their own actions cause a reaction, but they really are a little scared of white people having an organized identity. Because they see what happened in World War II. Even if they exaggerate it, they didn't have a fun time.
I was asking you, though, about these anti-war people.
But it's paranoia.
What do you think about these anti-war people?
Oh, sorry, I misheard you. I think, isn't being anti-war good? Maybe I'm not really understanding what you're saying.
I just pointed out that they're not anti-war. They're only anti-war when it's the United States doing the war. But they love war when it's done by anyone else.
Yeah, you know Francis Parker Yockey?
Yeah.
So he wrote this whole thing. He became very anti-American in the 60s, and he said, oh, we love the Soviets. They're strong. They're masculine. They're great. He didn't care that the Soviets killed like 3,000 Hungarian civilians in October 1956. He didn't care that in East Germany in 1953, they killed like 100 or 200 East German civilians. So yeah, he's fine with war as long as it's not by Americans or Jews. So they love war, yeah. I mean, the Soviets killed so many people, yet you have all these leftists, they love the Soviets. But the Soviets were warmongers, just as bad as the Israelis and the Americans are. They invaded sovereign countries, right?
It's the same phenomenon with these... It's the same phenomenon with these degenerate e-celebs like Syrian girl. I mean, this harlot is just a blatant propagandist for this like Syrian, Iranian, Russian alliance in this civil war. Like all she does is reprint the same propaganda that you could find on RT or the Syrian government's own news channels. And there's really nothing else to her. She's just a parrot, a blind parrot, and a hysterical one for this Syrian regime, which she refuses to go and support herself physically. She will never get a rifle and go fight in this war. She just wants to suck up all the attention and the beta male compliments on Facebook and Twitter, right?
It's objective that Putin's bombing in Syria is killing so many civilians and it's helping increase the outflow of refugees into the West. Of course, if you say that, they'll call you a Zionist propaganda, but it's true. Putin brutally dropped bombs on Aleppo and Idlib. He's helping increase the refugee flow. I'm not saying the Americans aren't to blame too, but Russia is not helping the situation by bombing Syrian mosques and hospitals. They're bombing everything there.
These people don't give a shit about anything other than the fact that this Assad regime is still in power. It's like, who cares? This Assad regime is just a marginal, mediocre, kleptocratic regime that did nothing anyway. Like, what do they think? Syria is going to, like, defeat Israel or something? It's ridiculous.
True. But... again, it's shame because it's also on the far right. You know, Golden Dawn in Greece, they openly supported Russia invading an Orthodox Christian country called Georgia in 2008. They openly said, "We love our Slavic brothers killing those damn Christians in Georgia." Georgia's like the oldest Christian country in the world, and these crazy fucks supported the Russians murdering hundreds of them in 2008. They don't care.
They love any war by the Russians. I mean, it's just the same phenomenon you see with these phony anti-war people. When Russia invades, it's good. It's a good war just because it's not technically a regime change war. If it's a regime defense war, then it's valid. But if it's a regime change war, then it's invalid. So by the same logic, the Americans are justified to prop up the Yemeni pro-Saudi regime, which is faced with rebels, or would be justified to attack any kind of rebels in Saudi Arabia or any other U.S. ally, right? So it's just pathetic fucking partisan hackery is what these people are doing. Any government that is in an alliance, this BRICS oppositional Eastern alliance against the West, anything they do is underwritten by these propagandists.
These degenerate leftist hacks got very big and famous during the Vietnam War when we supported a government against rebels. We supported the South Vietnamese regime against communist rebels. We were not doing regime change in Vietnam. We were propping up a regime that asked for our help. So what we did in Vietnam is what Putin's doing in Syria, brutally killing civilians to prop up a native regime. Yet they hated us when we did it in Vietnam. Actually, the people like the Black Panthers actually took up arms against our government because of our war. So it's very weird.
Right. And you notice how they delegitimize any kind of protest movement or rebellion in any country that's not aligned with the U.S., right? So in Ukraine, they smeared all the Maidan protesters as just a bunch of stooges of George Soros or the U.S. government. They do the same thing about Iran. Any protests in Iran are just CIA, rabble rousers. But then you see protests in countries where the governments are U.S. allies, such as Egypt or Bahrain or Saudi Arabia or Yemen, and they say those are legitimate protests. Right, they say in France those are legitimate protests. So any protest in a Western country is said to be legitimate. Any protest in a country that is allied to the U.S., they underwrite those protests and glorify them. But any protest movement in a country that's aligned with the Russians is attacked as an astroturf CIA operation. It's total fucking propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's Russian supremacism. I mean, the Russians killed 500,000 Afghans from 1979 to 1988. Everyone's forgotten about that. It's a lot of dead Afghans. Probably more people they killed in Afghanistan than we killed in Iraq, or maybe at least the same. But no one cares. You know, dead Afghans killed by Russian, who cares? Even Noam Chomsky said, well, they share a border with Russia, so Russia can just go and kill every Afghan. They invaded Czechoslovakia in August 1968. Who cares, right? You know, fuck them. It's actually third worldism. They think the second world doesn't matter. You see, when Iraq's invaded, it's bad. But if Georgia's invaded or Hungary's invaded by the Russians or, you know, right, that's fine.
Well, I've heard these people use this argument like, oh, basically anything that used to be under Russian domain at any time historically belongs to Russia in perpetuity. Like, there's no end to it. Like, this is the same argument that fucking these Islamic jihadists say, and like they justify their expansion by saying, oh, well, under the Ottoman Empire, like Spain was under Islamic rule, so it's always an Islamic country, right? I mean, this is how fucking crazy these pro-Russian shills are. It's like they're not satisfied until Russia just takes over the entire planet. I mean, they're just trying to reverse the American empire and replace it with Russia and China, presumably.
I know that you've been critical of Viktor Orban for being a bit of a good guy, but I have to praise Viktor Orban. When he was like still an opposition leader in 2008, he compared what Russia was doing in Georgia to the way Russia brutally destroyed Hungary in 1956. He said that. It's no different. So I have to give tip my hat off to Orban to saying Russian imperialism is not acceptable. Unlike half of these far-right fucking nut jobs like National Front in England, France, or whatever, all these groups. But Orban's, he's honest. You can't just invade another man's country.
Well, these my beef in the alt-right, I mean, I consider myself to be alt-right, but I've had a beef. It's really with the same kind of people who take these same positions as these phony anti-Zionist and anti-war people, and they just justify anything that's done by any government that's not pro-American or not allied to America, especially the Russia thing, right? Putin, like, it's just so phony, their arguments. Like, I heard recently a clip of a Strike and Mike on the TRS network, and they're talking about how Ukraine has a Jewish oligarchy in control of a lot of stuff, and you know, they say this to denigrate Ukraine, but they never use that argument to denigrate Russia. Russia has 25% of the elite billionaires in Russia are Jewish. Putin built a fucking museum to Jews and donated a month's salary to them. He outlawed Holocaust denial and anti-Semitism, and is very close with the chief rabbi of Chabad Lubavitch. They never condemn this, right? So, like, Jews, it's like they give a pass. If there's a Jewish oligarchy in Russia, they ignore it and give it a pass because Putin is helping some camel jockeys kill other camel jockeys in a Semitic dogfight in the Middle East. So therefore, Putin's Jews are good Jews and Ukraine's Jews are bad Jews because they're allied to the U.S., right? It's like, this is the framework of the anti-war, fake anti-war, anti-Zionist movement. It's like, the Jews are good when they're aligned with these Eastern regimes, but they're bad when they're aligned with the West. It's the same with Muslims, right? So the good Muslims are aligned with Russia. The bad Muslims are aligned with America, right?
Yeah, well, you would say that the Anglo-Atlanticists, like the Anglo-Atlanticists or the liberal internationalists, they think killing in the name of capitalism or gay rights, that's great. That's fine. But when Putin or the Soviets kill in the name of socialism or what is it? Ethnic, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Not even ethnic or like cultural. I don't know because it's weird. But like whatever Putin's Eurasianist, like Putin can kill people. That's fine. Bush can't. But it's like, I thought killing's wrong. But I guess if you kill in the name of what? Anti-globalization. Yeah, that's the word. These anti-globalizationists support Russia's wars. I thought war is bad. I don't think war becomes good when it's done in the name of what? The BRICS or the Third World or, you know, whatever crazy. I don't know what they even believe because it's like they're sort of conservative, but these same sluts like Syrian girl are like, well, in Damascus, women don't have to cover their heads. That's sort of like the Ben Shapiro argument about Iran, right? How the women don't have to cover their heads. So we love Assad because he lets women be whores or whatever. It's just, I don't get it.
It's just like totally selective argumentation, depending on the regimes. It's like when it comes to Syria, oh, Assad's a fantastic, great human being because, you know, he doesn't enforce a Sharia law and he doesn't put women under the veil. And he's more liberal, and this is why he's good. He protects minorities, so he protects Christians. This is why he's good. But then when it comes to Iran, they say, oh, well, Iran's good because they beat down the religious minorities and they beat down the women and they beat down the gays.
I know.
They're fucking delusionally just parroting anything that they think will make these regimes look good in the eyes of pretty much like, when they're trying to win over liberals, they'll make that argument about Assad. When they're trying to win over hardcore social conservatives, they'll make that argument about Iran. It's the typical chameleonic propaganda you get out of the Kremlin too, right? Like the Kremlin will like play up its Soviet past to win over these these homosexual leftists, but then at the same time they'll play up like the czarism and the conservative angle when they're trying to win over right wingers. It's just like a 360 degree propaganda spigot. Like it's just endless angling, no matter what the audience is.
We gotta hate war. I think the key is we can have any belief about economics or culture, but you gotta not invade another country. I think we should respect the idea of self-determination. We have to respect that idea. We have to. So whether it's Iraq and Bush or Putin and Syria, we gotta oppose both. But of course, the ideologues think they're... See, people like Syrian Girl really believe that because Syria is secular, Assad can barrel bomb every city. She really believes that. Like, she believes killing is good for her ideology. The ends justify her means.
Well, she...
You know, that's what they believe.
She believes... She wants to kill... Basically, she's just like a westernized harlot. You know, a cam whore, a slut. You know, she's a attention... She's an attention junkie. And, you know, she's... You look at her pictures on the internet, like... She has like, she looks like a typical cheap hooker pose, like side angle, you know, with the puckered lips and everything. I mean, she's a freaking hooker. You know, she just supports like murdering anyone in Syria that would force her to put a veil on because she wants to be.
Exactly, liberated. Exactly. That's what it is. The majority of Syrians are Sunni Arabs. And she's like, oh, we got to put them in their place. We got to make them, you know, integrate with us or whatever the fuck they want. That's really what it is.
Yeah, she wants to have her little, like, she wants to have her little, like minority-ruled regime of Syrian liberals or something. Like, it's some weird, like, supremacist position that she has where, like, she thinks she's, like, the better Arab versus the backwards Islamic Arab. And she wants her little secular clique to dominate, but then she supports fucking Iran, which is the complete opposite. There's no logic to it.
Yeah, it's shameless. It's pragmatic, but pragmatism is just another word for cynicism. It's very cynical. But you know, just because I hate Syrian Girl, I still hate Ben Shapiro. I mean, he wants to invade these countries to free Iran from the Ayatollahs, but it's like, Ben, the Torah says you have to kill gays. So what the fuck is Ben going on about? He's also very cynical and rat-like. I mean, the Torah says kill gays. Who are you? What's an Orthodox Jew doing criticizing Iran for doing what the Torah tells you to do, you know?
Right, but, you know, his only motive is to just eliminate any perceivable impediment to Jewish global domination, right? And, Shapiro is like a Jewish rabble rouser who has his cynical Zionist agenda, and then you have Syrian Girl who has her peculiar harlot agenda, and they both just want to like suck the white man into their squabbles, right? Like Syrian Girl is cheering on the white Russians that are getting their heads blown off fighting in Syria and dying in plane crashes and all the other crazy shit that's happened. And then Ben Shapiro wants to send white Americans to go, you know, kill these camel jockeys so that Israel can be powerful, right? They're both subversive. They're just on the opposite ends of that fight.
And they're not just culturally subversive. I mean, they're cold-blooded murderers. If you believe it's right to murder another human being, I don't know how you can call yourself a human rights believer. They both talk about human rights, you know, Alawite rights. Rights in Syria, and I don't know what the right of private property, whatever crazy libertarian, you know, Cato Institute shit, the right wing. You can't kill people. I feel like that's the idea. You can't murder people, but I guess murder's okay if it's for LGBT. That's what both Ben Shapiro and Syrian Girl believe. They believe LGBT is so good, and women's rights are so good. We got to kill all these backwards people. We got to kill the Afghan. We got to free them from themselves. Right?
Yeah.
The ends justify the means sort of thing.
So Syrian Girl wants to kill all the Muslims who would put women in their place, except for the Iranian ones, because they're helping her little kleptocratic regime stay in power, right? Maybe she will turn on Iran somewhere down the road. In fact, I read an article showing that, like, in Syria, the government textbooks can criticize Iran as an Islamic theocratic state and are suspicious of it. So, like, they actually don't even like the Iranians. Like, these Assad, like, Ba'athist type Arabs, like, don't like these Iranians because they are Islamic fanatics at the end of the day, and they're like the opposite, right? They're just like socialist
Yeah,
secularists.
you
So
know
they're just in a
Yeah.
pragmatic alliance, right? Like, and forget these people. They're both just different factions of camel jockeys, and white people have no interest in taking any side in those disputes. But we have disgusting people like Syrian girl trying to brainwash and hoodwink white men into fighting her goddamn wars for her because she's too much of a goddamn coward to go fight for her own people and race. She's too busy getting the beta bucks
Yeah.
online.
Well, Bashar is sort of like Angela Merkel with barrel bombs. Bashar is very pro-minority, and he's very pro-liberal, and he's a businessman, and he's privatized a lot of Syria. So he's like Angela Merkel with a barrel bomb, like David Cameron. Like, he's not in any way a conservative at all, Bashar. He's very, he's like a hack, but he wants to stay in power at any cost. So he plays up the whole, Putin anti-West thing, but it's just hackery.
It's total fucking nonsense, the whole thing. And but the internet is saturated with these freaks, with these e-grifters. Like, they're making a living off of doing this weird shilling for these third world regimes. Like, even Venezuela, you have Abby Martin, who's like shilling her ass off for Nicolas Maduro. You know, like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Like, these are people who've lost their identity. They have no connection and rootedness to their own people and culture, so they just go find some foreign cause to shill for. You know, that seems to be the mentality of all of these, like, stupid e-grifters that talk about this geopolitics nonsense.
They lost faith in the West. They sort of argued that the West is so Jew-run or capitalist-run, as Abby would say, that they've sort of turned. They believe the West is finished. It's totally decadent, and they don't want to save it. They want to just help push it over. Like Nietzsche said, when you see something falling, you should push it over. You shouldn't save it. That's what they want
Right,
to do. They
so
want to just.
if they believe the West is dead, then they should leave. Like, why are they still here? Why are they still sucking up the resources out of these countries? Like, they are obviously just hypocrites. They're living, like, basic, very comfortable lives, and they don't want to give up their comfort, but they just want to blackpill people on the internet because they're getting fucking, you know, Patreon beta bucks for doing so, right? Like, they're just total frauds. Like, they don't even believe in what they're saying.
Do you know the word pinkwashing?
No.
You know that word?
No.
Pinkwashing is what Palestinians whose lands are getting settled on and whose houses are getting bulldozed, their intellectuals in the West call it pinkwashing. When Israel says we have a right to steal this land because we're going to put gay parades on it. So it's like whitewashing, but it's actually pinkwashing because they're using gay rights as a pretext to fuck over the Arabs. They call it pinkwashing. Israel's pinkwashing. So we have LGBT, Israel and women, they don't have to cover their heads. So that's how they whitewash their occupation.
Yeah, we're gonna steal your land so we can put a bunch of anal sex fanatics in your street, living next door to you.
That's how they justify their mass murder of thousands of Arab children. That's how they do it.
And none of these anti-war frauds, these e-grifters, they're all basically opposed or indifferent to white nationalism. They have nothing positive to say about whites. They're just like, let's just shill for these foreign regimes, and then America will stop doing these nasty things in the world. It's like, shut the hell up, you know? Like, you're not gonna save the world. You're not gonna change the world with this stupid e-grifting or just yelling online or doing live streams. You know, Siri, this dumb bitch Syrian girl, she could have just not said a single word about this war, the civil war, and there would have been no difference in the outcome of it. You know, Like, she didn't change anything with her stupid cheerleading on the internet. She should be at home, having children, looking after those children. What are these dumb women doing on the internet, spewing a bunch of nonsense? Like, she wasted her formative years just being a fucking dick on Twitter, right? Like, what was the point
She's
of
such a
life?
bitch.
She should be
I
in the
don't know.
kitchen baking a fucking apple pie for her children. But she's
Yeah, I mean,
a childless e-harlot.
well, she wants to move back to Syria when Bashar wins, and she can be a slut in Damascus and go to the clubs and really party it out and Western it up. You know, because that's what they always have, these videos.
That's precisely what she wants. She wants like a degenerate disco in Damascus
She wants a handsome Syrian man.
right. She
And
she's a total
they,
hoaxer
you
because
know.
like I offered her to debate her and she rejected it and then threatened to sue me. You know, like she's a total fraud, like an intellectual fraud. She can't even defend her own positions and she knows that she can't, which is why she rejects the debate.
She's a liar because she won't even tell us if she's an Alawite or a Christian or a Druze. Because if she's an Alawite, this is just family matters, you know. But she won't even tell us she's an Alawite. She's, oh, I'm just a Syrian. Well, are you a Sunni? What are you?
Well,
Are you a Kurd?
what we know, well, she claims she's an Aramaean or some fucking kooky shit like that. But whatever she is, she's not Australian, but she's living in Australia and she's probably on some kind of welfare program, supplementing her, internet income. So
Well, see the
she needs to go back home.
well, see, Russia has a right to kill people because Russian women are blonde and blue-eyed, like Richard Spencer would say. So they have a right to murder Georgians who have darker hair and Syrians who are dark. Although we love Bashar, even though he's an Arab, but he has blue eyes, so he's good. He should kill everyone who's in Syria who doesn't have blue eyes. And it's weird, it's twisted, it's murderous, it's genocidal. Putin's killing so many children. If you look at any of these videos on YouTube of the barrel bombing, he's doing it. This is Putin. You can't blame everything on Israel. Putin really is bombing mosques to pieces. Not a question.
Well, some of these alt writers tried to claim that like Iran is an ancient Aryan nation, and these are really white people. Like the number of white people in Iran is very minimal. They cherry pick out like one guy out of 100 who's like the whitest of the bunch. But then you look at most Iranians and they don't look white to me. They look like a mix between Arabs and Central Asians. That Soleimani guy doesn't look white whatsoever. So
No, he doesn't.
this is just a fantasy of these kooky Nazbol retards in the alt-right that are just pandering to these anti-US regimes, hoping they can get some nice shekels, right?
But even after all this, there's still nothing filthier than people like Francis Parker Yockey or the International Third Position in the 60s. Supporting the slaughter of Hungarians and Czechoslovaks. Because we can talk about Arabs, we can talk about Iran, but Czechoslovaks and Hungarians are integrally white people. So if you believe that Russia has the right to kill thousands of Hungarian civilians and non-combatants, you're a traitor to the race. I mean, you are actually the definition of treason. You support people killing your own people,
Well, they support it
like
today in the
foreigners.
form of Russian rebels in eastern Ukraine who've killed 10,000 people, right? 10,000 people have died in eastern Ukraine at the order of Putin, who believes that
Yeah,
he's
they're killing a lot of
cleansing,
white.
who's justifying his campaign in Ukraine on the basis that he's the new Stalin who's going to cleanse Nazism from Ukraine. And then you have white nationalists like getting behind this campaign. It's completely paradoxical, but this is what you get with these Nazbol retards, right? Like they side with communists and Antifa types against white nationalists because Putin is killing factions of camel jockeys in the Middle East that's helping other anti-American regimes. So like it's everything's forgiven because he's supporting various various groups of towel heads who don't like us and want to kill us also, right?
You know, I don't really understand the hatred people have for Maidan. Maidan in Ukraine was a nonviolent civil disobedience movement. Would they have preferred the Ukrainians go out with guns and kill the pro-Russian politicians? Maidan was a beautiful example of a revolution done without bloodshed. You know what it reminded me of, Brandon? Mussolini's March on Rome, which was like a bloodless theatrical situation, you know? A perfectly changing governance without killing.
Well, the Ukrainian police are the ones who killed several, like 50 protesters, and then the protesters
go on.
And these same people like try to delegitimize that on the basis that America picked the side of the Ukrainian opposition against this Russian regime. So it's so funny that they smear Ukraine as just some corrupt Jew-run nation. They never point out the Jews around Putin. But then, you know, was Ukraine not a corrupt Jew-run country when Yanukovych was in power? Were there like the Jews didn't exist and they magically just came about after him? Like, there's no logic to it. Like, there's no consistency. It's like anything that's pro-Russian. So if it's pro-Russian, even if it's Jewish, it's good because it's pro-Russian, right? That's all there is to this. It's like Jews are good. Jews are good and admirable when they side with the Russians, but they're bad and evil plotters when they side with the Americans. Like, that's all there is to this crap, right?
Well, the thing is, like, what really bothers me is I keep calling Maidan a coup. I don't know if I can call protesters stones a coup. When I think of a coup, I think of military tanks and, you know, gunmen. I don't see how it's a coup. It just seems like a flagrant lie to call Maidan a coup.
It was
like March on Rome in Italy wasn't a coup.
Right. It was a revolution. I mean, it was a popular protest movement, and Yanukovych purposefully stepped down and left he fled the country on his own accord. So that's not a coup. A coup is a very specific group in the military that takes over the government, and they support coups when it's done by people that they like. The Assad regime came to power in a coup. Saddam Hussein came to power in a coup. You know, they love coups when it benefits their like anti-Western side, right?
Absolutely. I think non-violence is the way forward. I think people like Orban, you don't have to like their ideas, but I like their tactics. I don't like killing per se. I like Mussolini because he didn't take power through violence. I mean, he beat up some communists, but he didn't like kill people. I think we have to move past this whole bloodshed thing, which is everyone's doing. You know, Putin's killing, and, you know, you have to move past the bloodshed, because especially external bloodshed. It's one thing to kill people within Russia, but when you start invading others, you're really bad news. I mean, you're really bad news to invade another country, you know?
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on the podcast. I won't take up too much more of your time. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
The website's alt-right.com. And that's all for tonight.